Water.
Amen. Water.
Amen.
It's one of my favorite words. By the time this meeting's going to be over, we'll all be enjoying what?
Water.
Not just water. Water. Actually, if you don't know, my mom said my first word was in Spanish. It was agua. Yeah. And so that's good. My first word was water. Maybe my last word will be water too.
Amen.
I don't know. But anyway, I like to have a life full of water, living water.
Amen.
Well, we come to the last message in the evening on the line in Ephesians, going to chapter 5. And this is obviously is a special chapter. It's, you know, obviously it's about the church as the bride of Christ. And the church as the bride of Christ is very, very precious, because what it tells us is that the very God of the universe desires to have a bride for his son Christ. And this is his longing. This is his deep desire. And this is something that should eat us up. This should eat us up. This should govern us when we really see what the Lord is after. The church is not just something common. The church is something that has come out of Christ, and it will be eventually presented back to Christ as his glorious bride. We saw from the very beginning this week that God has an economy. He has a plan. And in his plan, he wants to do something marvelous, you guys. And it's just outstanding that he would desire to do something so mysterious. I mean, what he had in his heart is very mysterious. He decided that he is going to head up everything in the universe in Christ. And he's going to do it through his plan of what? Dispensing. He has a plan. He has an economy. He has an arrangement. And his way of getting what he wants on this earth among man, the very God of the universe. Do you know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it, and he's doing it right now by dispensing. Yeah, you have to. Everybody, just do this. Dispensing. Now, how about your neighbor? Dispensing. And, of course, what are we dispensing? We're dispensing, and what he wants to dispense is himself. He wants to dispense himself, the triune God, as life to his chosen and redeemed people.
Amen.
Wow. Are you chosen?
Amen.
Have you been redeemed?
Amen.
We saw this in chapter 1. I mean, he chose you before the foundation of the world.
Right.
See, again, you have to tell your neighbor, you're chosen.
You're chosen.
Before the foundation of the world. That's amazing. And he redeemed us. He forgave us. He's after something precious in the universe. We saw he's after the church as his body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The church, did you get that? Is his body. It's the fullness of the one. What's the church full of? Can you believe it? The church is the fullness of the church, which is his body, is the fullness of the one. Let's all say that. The one. The one who fills. Again, what is that? Dispensing. Who fills all in all. He is a dispensing triune God. And he's dispensing his own life with all of his riches into his chosen and redeemed. This is marvelous. And this is how he produces through incarnation, human living, death, resurrection, ascension. You know, in resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. Eventually, he produces the church. And he now is available as a life-giving spirit to regenerate man. Anyone who would believe in him. Are you a believer?
Amen.
You believe in him?
Amen.
You got regenerated.
Amen.
You got the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
You got the triune God as a spirit inside of you. Just do this. Oh, he's inside. I wanted to sing, he's dwelling in our spirit.
Amen.
He's breath and life to me. Isn't that awesome? Well, the church has another aspect. And that is, the church is also what? The new man. It's his masterpiece. It's a masterpiece. One new man. You know, when I first came to the church life, I came in, you know, in the 70s, early 70s. And you looked around, and it didn't quite look like this. But it did in one sense. It was just all races, all ages, all stages, mostly hippies, at least where I was. It was beautiful. I couldn't believe. You have these school teachers with their white shirt and ties and girls with whoopee glasses, but sitting next to them is a hippie, and they're without shoes, and they're enjoying the Lord. Their oneness is Christ. Christ is all and in all in the new man. He's all the members. You know, when you look around, what do you see? I hope you just see one new man. He is the content of this one new man. And it's something beautiful. It's a masterpiece. This is what the world needs. They're looking for this. All the racial strife and tension, you know, what do they need? They need the solution. The solution is Jesus. The solution is God's economy. Amen. And so, you know, going on, we just saw that he wants to make his home in our hearts. Then going on, I don't know, as the body, he needs the functioning of all the members. And especially, saints, I was really impressed. We need to grow up. We need to grow up into him until we all arrive. We need to arrive somewhere. We need to arrive unto a full-grown man at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, why do we need to do that? The reason is really in this chapter. That is, he wants a bride. He wants a wife. He wants a counterpart. He wants an increase. He wants someone that matches him. Is he going to marry a child? Andrew, are you going to marry a baby wife? Are you going to marry a little girl? It's terrible. No. Forget about it. Listen, the Lord is not after just a child. He needs the believers. He needs you. He needs me to grow up into him in all things. We need to arrive through the functioning of all the members, the life supply of the joints, and the operation of all the parts. Something's going to happen. You know what that is? It's called growth and transformation. And eventually we'll all arrive at the oneness of the faith, ultimately at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you believe we're going to match him?
Amen.
We're going to look like him. His thoughts will be our thoughts. His feeling will be our feeling. His choices will be our choices. His heart will be our heart. We'll love him. And eventually all that he is becomes the same as we are. I should say we become the same as he is. Because he is a dispensing God. And if we are those that give him our cooperation, we're those that say amen. Lord, we like to be headed up. We like to grow. We like to be transformed. Listen. We will arrive at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And going on to this chapter, we see something even, it's more sweet. It's sweeter than the things I've just mentioned. It's not just about growing. You know, the body has life and it's growing. The new man is a person. But the bride, he's seeking a bride. He's seeking, what does a bride do? She just loves. He is looking for someone to love him. He is looking for a bride that loves him to the uttermost. Who loves the Lord? Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I hope you love the Lord to the uttermost.
Amen.
Let's all say, Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you.
As I'm standing here, I'm just telling you, I love the Lord. Oh, don't you love the Lord? I just want you to tell your neighbor, I love the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I love the Lord. Amen. We need to get used to that. let those words roll out of our mouth. Lord, I love you. Just as a kind of a background, when I came to the church life, I came from a background like Ricky that had a lot of doctrinal knowledge, and that didn't make it. So in college, I just like forget it, and off I went to do my own thing. But at some point in time, the Lord stopped me, and I began, and actually, like Whitney mentioned, a young man in my tennis class came up and said, spoke to me for about a minute, and walked away, and my life was never the same. He has no idea what effect that had, but ultimately he began. We had more time together. Next thing you know, he brought me to a meeting. Next thing you know, I saw something. I came to a place in Houston, Texas, and it was not some big mega church. It was like a little meeting hall. I didn't know what that was, but a little something out on a lot with gravel road up to it on a little road in the middle of nowhere. And I got there, and guess what? It was the most bright and shining place I'd ever been in my whole life. It was shining. It was bright. It was beautiful. It was glorious. It's really like the tabernacle. It was just, it looked like porpoise skin on the outside, not something attractive. But once you get out inside the tabernacle, gold everywhere. Oh, wow. This is beautiful. People don't realize how beautiful it is in the tabernacle, in the church life, in the church. So I was taught among the brethren that the church should have the priesthood of the believers. Right. You know, that all the members of the church, of the body, should function. But you know what's interesting? Growing up there, I never saw it. Right. It was like, well, it's a good doctrine. Yeah, everybody should, but I never saw it. I saw one person speaking, a couple people doing some little singing, you know, doing their singing thing, and a lot of messages. But when I came to church life, having had that doctrine, and having even seen it in the Word, and I came into a meeting, and everyone was functioning. It's like, how did this happen? Anyway, I just saw the reality. To me, the church began to dawn a little bit. It's like, wow, this is really the church. I've never seen it anywhere. And I had been looking everywhere. I never saw this. They actually all function as priests, just like the Bible says we should be doing. So I was so impressed. And the church became something so precious to me. And, of course, the Lord began to show more and more and more. Saints, the church is Christ. It's His own body. I just want to read part of this song. You're all familiar with it because you've been to weddings, right? And they always sing this song. In fact, I've got a daughter who's getting married in a couple months. I've got to speak at another wedding. All these things just kind of part of life. But here's... But look at this. Listen to this. The church is Christ's deep longing. And His good pleasure too. His every word and action is made with her in view. You got it? His heart's love is established, and not can him deter. Nothing can stop him. His heart is set. Before the earth's foundation, His thoughts were filled with her. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious? Yeah. This is Christ's deep longing. It's His good pleasure. Everything He does is for this. This is in view. And nothing can stop Him. And then I'm going to skip down a little bit and go to verse 4. You know, what happened, of course, man fell, but that would not stop the Lord. Verse 4 says, then mercy richly flourished. And love was, oh, so vast. As graciously He sought her with wisdom unsurpassed. Didn't He seek you? Why are you here? Andrew, what are you doing here? It's his wisdom. I mean, you used to live in Irvine, California. Why would you ever leave there? And then you go up to some place in the middle of America up there in the frozen tundra or something. I don't know where it is. And then you're here with us. That's marvelous. His wisdom is unsurpassed. And not only that, you have a kid that comes to Harvard with us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's wisdom. Anyway, I'm getting off. Wisdom unsurpassed. The love he gave to win her, God only comprehends. His life laid down an offering whose fragrance yet ascends. So now in resurrection, to her he draws most near, and with untold affection in glory does appear. As she beholds her bridegroom, his glory floods her heart. Till she, his bride, is raptured, his long-far counterpart. Isn't this sweet? This is his deep longing. He wants a counterpart. He wants someone that matches him, that loves him to the uttermost. And we're not there, but we're on the way. Okay, I'm going to go over the outline. There's a lot of things I want to cover with you. But I just want you to know, there'll be a number of things that you can share afterwards. We're going to leave plenty of time for you. And I'd love for you to all to come and to the mics and water one another.
Yeah.
You know, like a little sprinkler.
Yeah.
Just water everybody.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be much. Just and sit down. Anyway, just water. I really like that illustration. Okay, in Ephesians, let's look at the title for this. The Great Mystery of Christ and the Church. Let's all declare that. The Great Mystery of Christ and the Church. It's a great mystery. Listen, the universe is a mystery. God is a mystery. The mystery of God is Christ. Christ is a mystery, but the mystery of Christ is the Church. And then now you come to this little portion here, and what you find out in verse 32 is that the church, Christ and the church, is what? It's a great mystery. Let's all say that. Great mystery. It's not just, okay, it's a mystery. No, it's great mystery. I mean, you just consider, I'm looking at the first Roman numeral. Ephesians chapter 5 reveals that Christ and the church is typified by a husband and wife. They are the great mystery. Christ and the church is the great mystery. But what is the type of that? It's the husband and the wife. Now, isn't that a mystery? You know, there's a verse here, Ephesians 5:31. It goes like this: "For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh." And you look at that, it's like, what? It sounds, you know, we've all heard it. They use it in weddings. But this is from the Lord. And he says, this man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife. So his wife leaves his father and mother, and the two are joined. And the two become, shall be one flesh. So you have the husband. Or what does it say? No, it says the A man. Here's one. A man leaves her husband, and then, I mean, his family. Strike that. A man leaves his family, and is joined to his wife, and it says, and the two. Here's one. The two become one. But, you know, one plus one equals what? Should be two. But in God's view, one plus one equals one. Got it? Isn't that mysterious? That one and one equals one? Or that two could be equal to one? Or did I say that wrong? Yeah. One plus one equals one. And anyway, I was never good at math. But the Lord is. He's good at this. It's this divine math, you know. It's a great mystery that two could be one. This is God's view. And the husband and the wife is just a type. It's just a type of the reality. The reality is Christ and the church. Can you believe you're one and he's one and the two of us are one? That's right. Okay. Point A under this says, Christ with the church is the great mystery in this universe. This is the center of the divine thought and is clearly revealed in the first two and final two chapters of the Bible. And of course, we'll get to this, but we'll see in Genesis 1 and 2, what do you have? You have Adam, and eventually you have Eve. You have two that become one. And it's the center of the divine thought. At the end of the Bible, what do you have? You have another couple. You know, y'all sang it earlier, right? The marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride hath made herself ready. I don't know if you ever thought about it, but I never heard it. I never heard it growing up, that the Lord Jesus, as the Lamb of God, is going to get married. Did you ever? Did you ever hear that? Bill, did you? I mean, of course, we didn't grow up in the church life. Well, maybe you did. I don't know. I did. But you guys heard it from a toddler, I guess. But to us, my goodness, Christ is going to get married. Who's he going to marry? Us. Hey. This is why we're here. This is why we're together. We're here to, because he is working on us to fulfill his heart's desire to get a bride. Then the central thought of God, B, is that Christ must have a church as his body, his bride, his increase, and his counterpart to express God in a corporate way. He's so unfathomable. He's so extensive. He's so great. But he wants to be expressed. But he has chosen kind of, it seems like a narrow way and the hardest way, he's chosen to get his corporate expression in man. And not just any man. He starts with fallen man. Fallen, contaminated, sinful, evil man. And then he does something. He dispenses. He goes, first of all, he goes to the cross. He deals with everything negative in the universe. He redeems us. He washes us. He forgives us. And then the process begins to make us beautiful, to make us his bride. Make us his bride, okay? Then Roman numeral 2, let's go on to this. The first couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve, presents a significant and complete picture. A mysterious type of Christ and the church. I think you're familiar with this, but I'll just read some of the verses in Genesis 2. It says, Jehovah God, he caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Jehovah God built the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, this time, this is bone of my bones. Oh, and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman. Woman. He was man, but oh, now this one is woman. What does that mean? Whoa. Yeah, in the Hebrew or whatever it is. Oh, really? Okay, whatever. Okay. Male and female. Okay, amen. Very good. So, and then it goes on, verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So this is a picture, Adam and Eve. And when you look at it, you have to see, first of all, let's just look at Adam. Adam was there all alone, and he was involved with all the animals, the birds, and naming all of them. But really what he was looking for, and he really needed help, he wanted a helpmate. Right. And he was looking, you know, oh, elephant. Oh, he doesn't that doesn't match me. You know, he wants a counterpart. He wants a helper. You know, well, the trunk may be helpful, you know, move things, you know, but it's not that sweet to have as your companion and your counter, you know, companion. Elephant. What about a giraffe? Yeah, you know, it's just the animals. They went before him one at a time, and nothing matched until the Lord put him into a sleep, and then that signified Christ going into death. That's the significance. Then what did the Lord? The Lord took something out of Adam, a rib, signifying the unbreakable life of God. And he took the rib out of man and he formed a woman. He built a woman, not formed, he built. And at that time, there was no sin. So she didn't need the cleansing of the blood. He just needed to build her. And he built something that matched him. And that's why it says, this time. Yeah, this time. This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. He was so happy. He found a counterpart. Well, this one that came out of Adam was of his life, had his life, had his nature, and even had the image of man. Very similar image, right? And so this is a picture. This is a picture of Christ and the church. Where did we come from? We came out of Christ's death. In John 19, we saw that the Lord, when he was pierced on the cross, what happened? Out came blood and water. We needed the blood. The blood for redemption, to cleanse us all of our sins. But then the water signifies or shows the desire for life impartation. Actually, what came out of him was life. Through death and resurrection, life was released. To get into man, the blood was shed for our sins, and the water signifying the life was released to regenerate man. So now, here we are. We're in His image. We got His life. We got His nature through death and resurrection. Our believing in Him. Do you have His life?
Amen.
Do you have His nature?
Amen.
Yes, we do. We have it. Now what? Now what? We need to grow. We need to be in a process that will bring us all the way to the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's some verses under this. You're familiar with these. Some of you memorized a lot of these. But you have this matter of in verse 25, you know this, husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, it starts with, there's some fellowship here about husbands and wives, right? Have y'all read this before?
Yeah.
You remember all that? Well, just that one verse says, love your wives even as Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you do that, Emmanuel? Can you love your wife? Can you love your wife, even as Christ? That's a tough one. David, do you love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her? Let's put it another way. Andrew, do you love the brothers in the brother house even as Christ loved the church? No. You have to go back to the verses before this. Those are necessary. What are the verses before this? Don't be drunk with wine. Where does this lose? But what? Be filled in spirit. This is the will of the Lord. This is His will, that we be filled in spirit. Then eventually we what? We sing. We speak to one another. We sing. We thank. We're subject to one another. And then you come to this matter of husbands and wives. Sorry, here we have Bob and his wife. Bob, I better not ask. Especially with the wife here. But but I know you love your wife. But do you love him even as Christ loved the church? He gave himself up for her. Listen, I love my wife. But listen, there are things that happen, and I don't probably need to enumerate. You know, I could probably give one example. You know, one example, very simple. And that is, I think I gave it at the last retreat, and that is, it's so ironic. You want to do something for your wife, and you're getting ready to do it. For example, oh, I need to take the trash out. And you're on your way to take the trash, and you hear her from another room, when are you going to take the trash out? And then, do you love your wife? At that moment, you just turn around, I'm not going to take out the trash right now. We're so rebellious, you know what I mean? We just, and you hate to say, it just sounds strange to try to, you know, I was just about to do it, but you can't even say that in a nice way, you know? Anyway, there's lots of things, little things. When I got married to my wife, I think I've told you many before, I had no idea she squeezed the toothpaste in the middle. And back then, everybody, the husband and wife, they share the same toothpaste. You don't need two. But my goodness, squeeze it in the middle? It's like it doesn't fit in my brain. Why would someone, why would you squeeze it in the middle? Because what's the next person going to do? Where you squeeze it on the end, nothing happens. You squeeze it in the middle, nothing happens. So you have to move everything up for them on the toothpaste. It's and there's something in you that's like, it's not love. I like the love of Christ. Even as Christ loved the church. We need to be filled. We need to be filled in spirit to really meet what the Lord is talking about here. I want to go on to, okay, let's read the next point A. Adam is a type of God in Christ as our husband who is seeking a wife for himself. Amen. He's seeking a wife for himself. Are you seeking a wife? Where's Ivan? Ivan, stand up, brother. He just graduated from the training. He's coming to he's going to New York. But you know what? Do you have a desire for a wife? Anyway, I shouldn't stir up the young people. Anyway. But him, it's time, right? It's time, right time. Okay. It's not good to be alone. Right? Let's all say that. It's not good to be alone. Amen. Then B, it says the church as the counterpart of Christ is typified by Eve as the counterpart of Adam. We talked about that a little bit. I want to go on to where my real burden is. C says, in typology, Adam and Eve became one flesh. In actuality, Christ and the church are one spirit. So we've kind of mentioned the other ones. Now let's come to three. Now, saints, this is where I just feel like it's just tremendous. I hope you'd pay attention and you'd get excited and you'd learn to speak these things. When you come to this, you see in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it reveals Christ in three stages, so that the church may be produced and built up to become his bride. So there's three stages. I'd like for you, I know you memorized these verses, but if you were to look at the verses, what I'd like for you to do is look at your verses and just, I'm reading it to you. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. When did that happen? When did that happen, Mike? Huh? Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's in the past. Okay, that's in the past. That's already happened. Praise the Lord. He loved the church. Oh, I just, that should make you crazy. Marquis, isn't that awesome? He loved the church. Let's all say that. He loved the church. Yes, he loved the church. And he gave himself up for her. Right? That happened 2,000 years ago. Although he's still loving and he's still giving. Okay? But I want you to skip over the next verse and go to verse 27. Now, what does that say? Andrew, read it. Speak it to me.
That he might present the church to himself glorious.
Amen.
Not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing.
Amen.
That she would be holy and without blemish.
Amen.
Very good. So, that's in the future, right? That he may present the church to himself what?
Glorious.
Has he done that already? No. He will do that one day. And you know what? He's going to present the church to himself what?
Glorious.
It's going to be full of God's expression. Full of him expressed. Right? Full of glory. And this will be a beautiful... We're all being beautified to be that bride. But are you beautiful right now? Sometimes, yeah. It's kind of like a snail that hasn't quite got to become a butterfly, right? Is a snail? No, caterpillar. Not a snail. caterpillar. All right. I got it. Okay. So, a caterpillar, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I'm still in that same stage. Caterpillar. But anyway, tell your neighbor, caterpillar. But guess what? You're becoming something else. Your destiny is not to remain as a caterpillar. It's to become a butterfly. Yes. So, how does the Lord do that? He's going to make the church glorious and present it to Christ, right? How does he do it? That's in the future. So you have to go back to verse 26, right? And then 26 is the present. Okay, so what's the past? 25. He loved her. And in the future, that's verse 27. He's going to present the church to himself glorious. That's the bride. We're becoming the bride. But what's happening right now? 26. Isn't this marvelous? This is what he's doing. Let's all read this verse or quote this verse. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. This is big. Let's look at let's go back to our outline. I'm just going to... Yeah, first, in the past, Christ the Redeemer gave himself for the church for redemption and the impartation of life, right? Then you have B, in the present, Christ as the life-giving Spirit is sanctifying the church. What is he doing right now? Sanctifying the church. Now, some of you may not know what sanctifying means. I had an illustration, but maybe I'll show you. It's kind of ridiculous, but... It's you know what this is? No, it's a pretzel. Yeah, it's a pretzel. I forgot what was inside. This is a pretzel. Now, if you have a bunch of, I don't have a bunch of pretzels, but if you had a pretzel here. And a bunch of pretzels, and there's one in the middle of it, and it looks, and it's just one of the pretzels. The Lord, He wanted to do something. He wants to sanctify us. So a lot of us just think to sanctify means to separate.
Right.
So you want to take that pretzel out of the pretzels, away from the pretzels, to separate it. Well, that's not bad, but you know what? In John 17, the Lord Jesus, He prayed, Father, Don't take them. What is it? Yeah, don't. They're in the world. Yeah, don't take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the pretzels. Put them back in the pretzels. But he said what? Sanctify them.
Right.
The Lord Jesus prayed, sanctify them, Father, in the word. He knew something will work. Sanctification will work. But it's not just separation. No. They'll still be among everyone else. But they need to be what? Saturated. Let's all say that. Saturated. So when you hear the word sanctification, don't let it blow you away. Sanctification, you know, like what is that? Is that an Amish person? I don't know what that is. You know, sanctification is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's separation, I would say, by saturation. We're in the world, but we're not of it. But the reason we're not of it is because, guess what? This pretzel has been saturated. You know what's inside this thing? Peanut butter. You know what's on the outside? Chocolate. It's saturated. You know, there's a little bit of pretzel in there, but actually you can kind of see it. There's a little pretzel right there. See a little pretzel there? Yeah, it needs more saturation, right? But this is us. And guess what works? Sanctification works. Sanctification works. And the verse, of course, it says, sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the word. Now, this is so packed. What's going on today? What is the Lord doing? He's sanctifying us. And he knows that by sanctifying us, this will make us glorious. Do y'all get this? What makes us glorious? Sanctification. But actually, let's look at this verse. He sanctifies us by cleansing us. And he cleanses us by washing us. And he washes by water. And where is the water?
In the Word.
So, to me, this is tremendous. There's also in the ministry, it talks about, there's a verse later on in verse 29 about nourishing, how the Lord nourishes and cherishes the church. And he nourishes, and this is verse 29, just after this. And nourishing and cherishing is a big part of this. Because, first of all, nourishing and cherishing indicates growth in life. I write that? Nourishing and cherishing indicates growth in life. I mean, this table doesn't need nourishment. You know, it doesn't need cherishing. Oh, yeah, the table, it doesn't need any cherishing. You know, I can do whatever. It doesn't have any feeling. But we need nourishment. We need cherishing. And the Lord, he loves the church so much, he's nourishing and he's cherishing us. If you've lived for any length of time in the church life, you'll realize he is so tender and sweet in the way of warming us up and causing us to just love him and are willing to be nourished. You know, usually what happens is cherishing comes and it causes us to be open to be nourished. Sometimes nourishing and cherishing come together at the same time. My daughter, when she was, this is Bethany, I remember, she was the only one that was stubborn about eating. And she was in the high chair, and I would try to get her to eat, you know. And she would just move her mouth around her head. No matter what I did, open your mouth. She would not open her mouth. She was so stubborn. And I realized, what am I going to do? You know, Kathy wasn't there, so I got to get her to eat. So I know one thing might work. I realized she liked to swim in the little swimming pool we had, a little plastic thing. And so she was running around all the time in her little bathing suit. So I got the food, and I started bouncing. I said, I'm on the diving board. I'm going into the tummy pool. I'm going into the tummy pool. I want to go into the tummy pool. Here we go. And she opened up her mouth. So all I just kept playing tummy pool with her. Tummy pool, tummy pool. Do you see what's happening here?
Yeah.
Just warm her up. You know, just make things sweet, happy. And then when she's happy and she's been cherished, what? Nourishment. Nourishment. You know, it worked. It really worked. And that's the way the Lord is with us. Haven't you been cherished by the Lord?
Yeah.
Listen, even the meetings, saints, get to the meetings. You may be down and out, and you just need to get your bones to the meeting. Because then when you get to the meeting, you just get cherished. You get warmed up a little bit. You may even get some nourishment, you see. And you go away with a little more growth in life, happy in the Lord, and wanting to pursue the Lord. Anyway, we need the nourishing and cherishing. One time I remember I had come to the church life, and then I went through a little struggle at one point, and I wasn't going to some of the meetings. And Joe Davis contacted me, and he asked me to meet him at Denny's. And I was at Denny's. He took care of me. He bought me a meal, and then we had some time together. And afterwards, I couldn't believe. I was sitting there, wait a minute, what happened here? He didn't share anything spiritual. In fact, wait a minute, he didn't even hardly talk at all. He got me talking. I talked the whole time. And as I talked, all my frustration, everything just kind of came out. And I was happy. And after that, I started going back to the meetings. That's all he did. He just sat there, bought a meal, sat there. Yeah, so what's going on? Yeah, and then, yeah, okay, yeah. And then I just blah, 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 blah. I just talked. And afterwards, that's good. Yeah, that's good. And off he went. He didn't even share anything, any verse. I was kind of amazed. Like, what kind of person is this? But it worked. It worked. So we can't underestimate the nourishing, the cherishing. And, okay. Now then, this matter of sanctifying, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. I want to mention this, saints. We need the cleansing, because the cleansing, the sanctifying and the cleansing and the washing that's in the water, in the Word, it deals with what's negative. It deals with our being. We have to, first of all, and I realize I need to see this, you need to see it, we all need to see that, first of all, we're fallen. Do you think you're not fallen? Do you not need some cleansing? We're contaminated. You just live in this world. What about things that just flash at you? They get into your brain. We get contaminated. We get defiled. And you have to consider, we're just, are you free from the flesh? The flesh is with us. It's with us all our days. It's a battle. There's the flesh. Then there's also the self. Do you like the self? Do you like to be around a person who's full of the self? No, I don't even like myself. Myself is selfish. Myself is ugly. The self is ugly. It's just something of the old man. It's old. And we have a natural life. It all needs to be taken care of. What are we going to do? How are we going to match Christ? How can we be a bride that matches Him? We need transformation.
Yes.
We need water. We need water. We need water.
Amen.
We need the cleansing. We need the cleansing of the washing of the water in the Word. Because what this does, it comes in. It brings God's element. It brings His very being into us. And it adds Himself to us. And then it discharges things of the old man. It discharges things. Haven't you had little experiences of the Lord doing this? It's not about correction. It's not about teaching. Will teaching produce a glorious church? A bride that just matches Him? No. You know, I always use this example, and I'm still always amazed. My dad, this is another little testimony. My dad used to cut my hair, and it was always short. And as a kid, I didn't like that because, you know, the the Beach Boys came along, the Beatles, and, you know, hair had to be longer. And so I didn't like that. Well, when I went off to college, I just let my hair go. And whenever I'd come home and visit, he'd always say something about my hair. And so I didn't even like to come home because the condemnation, you know, related to my hair. So I'd kind of put it behind my ears and get it down my hair, down my shirt where he couldn't see the bottom of it. Of course, it's crazy. Here I'm trying to grow my hair long, but all it does is just frizz up like George Washington or something. And if it were wet, it was long. But anyway, but guess what I did, saints? I had come to the church life and I was enjoying the Lord, and I was getting the water in the Word. The water in the Word was wonderful. I was enjoying something of the Word. And then one day, I just realized, I got to get my hair cut. No one said anything to me, but I just had that feeling. And the Lord touched me. You know, it was my hair was my identification with the hippie generation. It's what I was identifying with. It's what the image I wanted. It was that's where I was before Christ. And so I realized, I got to do something. And so I just enjoyed the Lord. And I had no thoughts of, oh no, he's going to cut my hair. What? Anyway, I went to my dad and I told him, Dad, I want you to cut my hair. And of course, he was shocked. And before that, I forgot to mention to you, he would always use a verse in the Bible. You know, it says right here that it's a shame for man to have long hair. Right here. Yeah, so that's why I didn't want to go home. And so basically, correction, the law, the black and white did not work. When he did that, it made me go home and want it to grow longer. You know, that's all that I wanted to do. But that one day, I decided I'm going to go get it cut. And I went to my dad, and I surprised him. I said, I'd like to get it cut. And then he got it all out, and he said, well, how do you want me to cut it? He never asked me before, but this time he asked me. I said, and I told him, just anyway, whatever you feel. And I just sat there. And he cut my hair. And I left. I went back to all the saints. And on the way home, saints, I was just full of glory. Amen. The God of glory was all over me. You know, I just was just the happiest person in the universe. And the reason is I had the Lord's presence. I had his presence because I went along with his speaking. And I just want to take this a step further to let you realize that the water in the Word, the water in the Word is his speaking. It's his instant speaking. And it's him, it's his presence is in it. He's a speaking spirit. He's real, he's a person who lives in us, and he speaks. And so even the word that's in this verse, it's the Rhema word. It's not just the Logos, it's not the Logos, it's Rhema. It's the instant word. So there's an instant word. When an instant word comes to you from the Bible, listen, it's his presence. It's the speaking spirit. And we need to just go along. Just say amen. And what happens when we go along, we say amen? There's a lot that happens. We get sanctified. We get cleansed. We get washed. We get God added to our being. He grows in us. He's added to our being. He's added. Isn't that marvelous? He beautifies us. He makes us beautiful. It's the water in the Word. Let's all say it again. Water in the Word. Sanctification is our enjoyment of the water in the Word. I don't know how to impress you with this, but you know, recently in our group meeting, Whitney's there, Nathan's there, Nathan Cho, and we've been practicing a little something with some of the athletes. Well, all of us are doing it, but mainly we're trying to help some of the athletes. And there's a big old football player there. And he's enjoying the Lord a little bit and enjoying the Word. And he'll read the Word, and then we'll stop and say, okay, wait a minute. In fact, let's just get an example. Nathan, why don't you stand up? Why don't you read that verse, 25? Yeah, 25. I'm sorry, 26. You know it, 5:26.
That he might I sanctify her.
Right.
Amen.
Washing her by the cleansing her by the washing of the water and the word.
Amen.
Okay. So that's what this brother would do, and we'd stop, right, Whitney? Then what we do? Nathan, you need. Could you do that again? But let's do it yum yum style. Let's use the yum yum principle. And they said, "What?" And I say, "Okay, do it again." But this time, you need to go through it and get and kind of yum yum. Get yum. Oh yum. This is good. Okay. Oh, no, no. And then I'd stop him. I'd say, no, no, no. Then he might sanctify her.
Oh, sanctify her.
Yeah. I'd have him repeat.
Oh, he.
Might sanctify.
Might sanctify.
Saturate.
Saturate.
Her.
Her.
Yeah. And then just go on. Keep on.
And cleansing.
Yeah.
Oh, cleansing her.
Yeah. No, a little slow. You're too fast. A little slow. Cleansing. Just cleansing. Don't you want to get cleansed? Listen, the Lord is a speaking spirit. His presence is there. Use one. Cleansing. Cleansing her. And what?
By the washing.
Yeah. See, he's getting it. There we go. By the what? Yeah, just, yeah. It's just in a genuine way, just washing. Oh, Lord, washing. Oh, cleansing by washing. Isn't that good? Then keep on. Yes.
Oh, by the washing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, thank you for this water, Lord.
Yeah.
And this water.
Yeah.
In the word.
Yeah. Washing of what? The water. You can't just read water. Water in the word. It's too good. And there's so many opportunities, saints, when you read the Bible and when you're with others, don't you want to get sanctified?
Amen.
Don't you want to get cleansed? Don't you want to get washed? Well, then enjoy. Enjoy the word. Get the Lord speaking. Get his presence. Oh, the water. Lord, thank you. There's water. Water in the word. Oh, your word has water. Oh, it's a laver. The word is a laver full of water. Oh, this is marvelous. Okay. Hiram, stand up, brother. Okay, take the next verse, 27. And just and do it yum yum style, whatever, enjoyable, sweet, and this time we'll repeat after you. Every little thing, we're just going to repeat you. Okay?
That he might present. Present the church.
Yeah, he might present the church.
To himself.
Hallelujah, to himself.
To himself,
glorious.
Not having spot.
Not having spot.
No spots.
No spots.
No wrinkles.
No spots or wrinkles.
Or any such thing.
Or any such thing. Oh, that she would be holy.
Holy.
Holy and without blemish. Amen. Amen. Did you get watered a little bit? A little water there? This is what you want. You want to get the water in the word. Otherwise, and when we do this with these athletes, listen, they get to the point where they read a verse and then they're expecting us to say, no, DJ, yum yum style. They smile. Oh, I knew you were going to say that. Then they go back and they enjoy it. You know, they know what they're supposed to do. They're not, you know, if you're just reading a few verses, just enjoy it. Get the water out of the word. And listen, a lot of this, you have to realize the Lord is there in the water as the Spirit speaking to us. And He's ministering Himself to us. And He's changing us. He's transforming us. He's growing in us. When He's added into us, what's happening? We're growing. Jonathan, don't you love this? Amen. Do you love water? Amen. I love water. Amen. Especially we need to love the water in the Word.
Amen.
And of course, the water in the Word, it signifies the life of God. And you know, there's so many verses about the water, right? Yeah. What comes to mind? A verse about water. What is it? Yeah. Say it, Jonathan.
Water that I'll give to you, spring up into eternal life.
Yeah, that's really poor, but that's it. Okay. That's another one. Therefore, joy shall draw. But going back to this one, the Lord, He stood up and He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and study. No. Come to me and what?
Drink.
Amen. Come to me and what?
Drink.
He wants to water us. What does He really want to do? Does He just want to teach us? He wants to water us. He wants to dispense Himself into our being. This is what changes us.
Amen.
This is what causes us to grow up to a full-grown man. This is what brings us to the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? This is what makes us beautiful. We need to be beautified. You know, I appreciated some of the brothers, you know, when they were up here sharing. Some of them, we don't see them share that much, but we ask some of them to share. Like Mark Uwe. Where's Mark Uwe? Is he even here? Mark. Yeah, there's Mark. Stand up. You remember when Mark shared? I was looking at him. Listen, he was sharing. He was so good. He was just point by point. He was releasing his spirit. And I'm just thinking, man, Mark is just beautiful right now. Yeah. Listen, that's okay, that's good. You know, and different ones, you know, when they share, you just realize, man, what's coming out is the real person.
Yeah.
When your spirit comes out, it's the real person.
Amen.
And that's how you get to know everyone.
Yeah.
And when we were in that group back there today, when I was there, all these brothers, I didn't really know them, but man, when they released their spirit with the Word, you realize, oh, I know that one. See, Preston, where's Preston? Preston, yes. Sit up. Do you know Preston?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't. But in that little group, when he was speaking clearly, point by point, measured, speaking, looking at us, infusing us, man, I was like, man, that was awesome. You know, he's beautiful. That was beautiful. That was Christ coming out. This is what we want. When Christ comes out, that's when we look the best. That's when you realize He is beautifying us. The bride needs to be beautified. He's adorning us for a wedding, you guys. Do you believe that? There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. And we're all getting prepared. We're being prepared. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I do. Don't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Ethan, do you believe it?
Amen.
See, he just got married. He may. The next wedding's way off. Oh, he's not married yet? Oh, sorry.
Next month.
Okay. Yeah. Forget about that. There's something bigger than that, Ethan. It's the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
As wife has made herself ready. This is what we're doing. We're in the ready process. I would say we're in the washing process to be ready. Okay. Okay, I need to wrap this up so we can... Let's go on a little bit. In the Let me see. Let's read the points under B, could we? One, everybody. To be sanctified is not only to be separated from what is common, but also to be saturated with the element of God, Christ. Brothers, two.
Christ's work of sanctifying the church is accomplished by cleansing her with
washing of the water in the word. Sisters, B. A, I mean. Amen. Then, brothers.
The indwelling Christ as the life-giving Spirit is always speaking an instant, present, living word to metabolically cleanse away the old and replace it with the new, causing an inward transformation.
Okay, that point is just tremendous. Why don't we have someone stand up? How about a sister? How about you? Stand up. And then just read that one in an enjoyable way. And maybe we'll just repeat after you.
Amen. The indwelling Christ.
Amen. The indwelling Christ.
Amen. The indwelling Christ.
Amen. The indwelling Christ.
As the life-giving Spirit.
As the life-giving Spirit.
Lord, give us life.
Lord, give us life.
It is always speaking.
Yes, always speaking.
Instant.
Instant. Present.
Living word.
Living word.
Instant present living.
Amen. Present living. Living.
Amen. To metabolically
cleanse
away.
Metabolically cleanse away.
Cleanse away the old.
Cleanse away the old.
Cleanse away the old.
Cleanse away the old.
And replace it.
With the new.
With the new.
Replace the old with the new. Amen.
An inward transformation.
Amen. Don't you want an inward transformation?
Amen.
Bill, we're not too old for that, are we? No, absolutely. Brothers and sisters, every day, I want more inward transformation. I want more growth. I want the Lord to keep growing. There's too much of us that needs to be, he needs to infuse himself. He needs to metabolically, organically discharge the old and add the new. Add himself into our being. Where eventually we just express Him.
Amen.
We are Him in life and nature, not the Godhead. You know, there's a little song I wrote while I was preparing it. It's just a little thing. It just kind of, the tune came to me because I just said something like, I was telling the Lord, spots and wrinkles. Not having spot or wrinkle, you know, and I just said, oh Lord, wash away the spots. Lord, the spots, the wrinkles. Listen, we need Him to wash away the spots and wrinkles.
Yeah.
And you know what will do that? The water and the Word.
Yeah.
You know, what happens if you do something? You know, I just use an example. What if you can make it whatever it is, but let's say you open the door and you let bats in your room. And so you let all the bats, some bats are flying in around in your room. And then you repent. To repent is just shut the door. Now what? You still got the bats flying around. You know what I mean? In the same sense, you may do something. You may see something. You shouldn't. What do? You repent. And the Lord cleanses you. But really, the door is shut. But now what's happening? Now you still got the bats flying around. You know what you need? You need the water and the Word. You need water. You need something to wash your thinking, wash your feeling, wash your will.
Amen.
We need a lot of washing.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, this water takes care of the spots. You know, the blood takes care of the sin.
Yeah.
But what about the stain of sin? You know, what about the bats that are still flying around? What about the images in your head? We need the washing of the water in the Word. Listen, this is a heavenly detergent that will wash away. Don't you need this again and again every day? We need the water in the Word. Not only that, I would say this, we need the washing away of our old man. You know, here it talks about wrinkles. Wrinkles just indicate what? We're just old. It's just the old natural life. He wants to deal with our natural life.
Right.
You know what? When you're enjoying the Lord, you're not old. You know, Hanley, I hope you don't get old. But you know what? Next week you could be old. Andrew, have I ever seen you old?
Yes.
See, Andrew's old. What? But we don't need to be old. By the washing of the water in the Word, it takes care of our spots and wrinkles.
Yes.
It's what makes us young again.
Yes.
What makes us young? What makes us full of life? What makes us full of enjoyment of the Lord? It's the water in the Word.
Amen.
It takes care of our wrinkles.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
David, there's hope for us. Bill, there's hope for us.
Yeah. Right.
Bill's a little bit older than me. Is there hope for our wrinkles? Yeah. Actually, Bill's not even old at all. You know why? He enjoys the water in the Word.
Yeah.
Right? Dennis, what do you love so much every day?
Water in the Word.
Every morning, water.
Yeah.
Let's all say that. Water
in the Word.
Washes away.
All the spots.
Wrinkles. And any such thing. Wow,
any such thing.
Don't you love the Word?
Amen.
We've got to have the water in the Word.
Amen.
Deal with all these things. This will make us what? Glorious. That's all I say.
Glorious.
Oh, yeah, here's the little song. It's just really silly. But I was just, it goes like this. Because the song is really a dig away, dig away.
Yeah.
But it's, wash away, wash away, wash away. All the spots and wrinkles in me, wash away. Wash away, wash away, wash away. All the spots and wrinkles in me, wash away. All such things have to go. That your glory be shown. Hallelujah. Wash away, wash away, wash away. To present the church to Christ glorious.
Amen.
Not bad, huh?
Very good.
Yeah, like I know how to write a song. I got all these ones around me there. So Whitney writes this one about 10 verses, and I've got this one little one. Okay. Anyway, I want to sing it again. Okay, here we go. Wash away, wash away, wash away. All the spots and wrinkles in me, wash away. Wash away, wash away, wash away. All the spots and wrinkles in me, wash away. All such things have to go. That your glory be shown. Hallelujah. Wash away, wash away, wash away. To present the church to Christ glorious. Amen. Okay, let's go through the outline here, and we'll let you guys start thinking about what you want to share. Okay, let's go to Roman number 4. All together, the last couple in the Bible, the Spirit and the Bride, will live an eternal married life as a consummation of the great mystery of God's economy. The divine romance between God and His chosen and redeemed people. Hey, brothers.
Whereas the church as the body of Christ
needs Christ as its life, and the church as the new man needs Christ as his person. The church as the bride of Christ needs Christ as her love. Two can only become one in love. Isn't that good? Two can only become one in love. So the church as a bride of Christ needs what?
Love.
Right, love.
Love.
Amen. What does the body of Christ need? It needs life.
Light.
What does the one new man need?
Person.
Person. What does the church as the bride of Christ need?
Christ as her love.
As our love, right? We need to love. And then altogether be.
The bride
of Christ in the millennium will include only the overcoming saints. Whereas the wife of Christ in the new heaven and new earth will include all the redeemed and regenerated sons of God. I just want to read some of these verses, and you can just say amen. Let us rejoice and exult.
Amen.
And let us give the glory to Him.
Amen.
For the marriage of the Lamb has come.
Amen.
And His wife has made herself ready. This is the end of the Bible, saints. This is how it all ends. This is where we're headed. Isn't that marvelous? We're headed this way. My, I just can't wait. This wife has made herself ready. Then Revelation 19:8. And it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. Then Revelation 21:2. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. What are we doing tonight? We're being adorned. Hearing the word, you guys getting ready to water one another. We're getting adorned. You're going to make each other more beautiful. Is that okay? Should we all go away a little more beautiful tonight?
Amen.
Then Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be God to him, and he will be a son to me. Then see, the entire revelation of the Bible shows us the love story of a universal couple. I'm not going to go through this paragraph, but it's so tremendous. It would just take too long. I would go on forever. Every little word is delicious. So you have to do it with one another, maybe in twos or threes or something. And then the last verse is Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty, come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. So at the end of the Bible, you have the Spirit, which is Christ, as a sevenfold intensified, consummated Spirit, and the bride. They're one. The two have become one. And they're speaking. And what are they saying? Come. And let him who hears, come. And let him who's thirsty, come. And let him wills take what? Take and study. No. Be a good boy. No. Take the water of life freely. This is the call at the end of the Bible. Take what?
Water.
Do you like that word now a little bit? Water. It's got to be water. Yeah. Amen. Water of life freely. Okay. I just have a few points I'd like for you to write down. These are just based on what I saw as far as some little practical handles. I realize the first one I really didn't talk about it, but the point is speak to him. Saints, to enjoy the water, to be in the growth in life, to be in the transformation process, tell him. Speak to him, I should say. Speak to him. And I'm thinking about the rock. You remember in Exodus, the rock followed them, and the water came out of that rock. So how do you get the water to flow? In Numbers, it says you just had to speak to the rock. So, and then Paul said that rock, it was Christ that followed them. That rock was Christ. So who's following you today? Isn't that marvelous? Here's someone who's following us. Marquise, he's following us. Where are you going tomorrow? Home. Where's home? Stores, Connecticut. You know what? He's following you. But you can speak to him and get water. Speak to him, get water. Then two, speak to one another. This is from Ephesians 5. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So speak to one another. Then the other part of that is point three, sing and psalm to the Lord. So the first one's to him. The second one is to one another. The third one is to the Lord. And then point four is give thanks to our God and Father. That's how that one ends. So our mouths should be open all the time, saints. Speaking to him, speaking to one another, singing to the Lord, giving thanks to our God and Father. Then five, I would say, is related to really this matter of the water and the word. Say amen to the speaking spirit. That is the rhema, the instant word with his presence. In other words, with the water in the word, when you touch the word and there's water there, he's always speaking. Say amen. Just say amen. Enjoy and say amen. And then lastly, tell him you love him every day. Tell him you love him. I hate to say it, but the book of Ephesians does not have the best conclusion. The last verse in this Bible, in this book, Paul told them, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord in incorruptibility." Grace is with those who love. That's his last word to Ephesus from prison. And then guess what happened? Then, like what was mentioned, 30 or something years later, the Lord speaks through John in the book of Revelation to the church in Ephesus. He has something. "I know your works." And then he comes down to this. He says, "I have one thing against you, and it's big. You've left your first love." Can you believe that? That's Ephesus. They had all this revelation. Saints, we can't just have revelation. Yes, we have some revelation of the mystery. It's what's in his heart to build the church, to get a bride for himself. But after all the revelation, what do we need? We need to maintain our love for the Lord by telling him we love him every day.
Amen.
Tell him we love him. "Lord Jesus, I love you." Even if you don't feel like it, tell him, "Lord, I love you." Or tell him, "Lord, I want to love you. Lord, help me to love you. Lord, I don't love you, but I need to love you." Just speak to him. Just tell him, keep your love fresh to the Lord. Can we do that, saints?
Amen.
Eventually, the Lord said, he had to tell Ephesus, "Remember from whence thou wast fallen and repent." Or what? "Your lampstand, I'll take your lampstand away." In other words, there'll be no testimony, no shining in Ephesus, because all you don't have love. You've got all this other stuff, but where's the love? So tell your neighbor, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's have some sharing from you. I was thinking maybe I could just call on a couple people to start it off. Maybe I could. We could have. I don't know. How about? Where's Victor? Yeah, Victor. Yeah. Why don't we have Victor? Then how about over here? How about the sister in the front back there, in the peach? Just share something you enjoyed. And again, maybe the other brothers can say a little bit more about how to share. But mainly, you want to water one another, right?
Amen.
Just share something short and water.
Short and water.
Amen.